you all again. Good to see you all. Good to worship with you. We began our journey last week looking at where we are in our walk with Christ, what our next steps would be. We talked about the process of becoming more like Christ and what it means that we can truly live free. And boy, would I like to take that to the extreme. Would I like to say, the rest of that part doesn't matter. It may be live free by the Spirit, but I sometimes want to take the by the Spirit away in my own self. I want to just live free. Wouldn't that be nice? To be able to live free without fear of any consequence. If the Old Testament law doesn't apply to me, if the things that are in there aren't directly kind of mine, I can just live free whatever I want. How would that work for us today? You know, I really want to say, tomorrow being Memorial Day, that I can go and I can just enjoy. Whatever it is that falls on my plate, I can gobble it up. 1, 2, 3 hot dogs. Steak, 8 ounce, make it 16. Hamburger, extra ketchup, and another slice of pie. Don't worry, there's no consequences. I can live free. How would that work driving 90 down Highway 151 up there? When I see the blue and red lights behind me, officer, thanks for letting me know, but it really doesn't matter. See, I can live free. You know, Jesus set me free, so therefore what laws? They don't apply to me. I can live free. So I'll talk harder today, and we'll get that off. So, Paul knew that that wasn't the case. Paul knew that our actions have consequences. How we live reflects something. Our faith is not found in our works. I want us to realize that today. But our faith is, in fact, shown in our works, in how we live our everyday lives. Our actions are not a method of salvation, but our salvation inspires our actions. What we do says something about who we are. Our transformation should be found from who we are now in Jesus Christ. And who we are now in Jesus Christ should be seen by the world. And I think one of the most frustrating things for a believer in life, one of the most frustrating things that I sometimes deal with, is when actions speak differently than your faith. When what we do contradicts with the faith that we have. It is a frustration, a battle that I fight, that I know what I should do, but what I really do is something far different. And I want to start today where we ended last week, with Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 24, that this frustration wasn't just today. That Paul had this as well in his life. In Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 24, Paul says, I don't understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate to do. And if I don't want to do it, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but is sin living inside of me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do The good that I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me who does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For my inner being, I delight in God's law. I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner to the law of sin at work in me. What a wretched man I am. From this body that is subject to death. You see, Paul knew what he should be doing. Paul knew exactly what God wanted out of his life. He was living free, but he was doing it by the Spirit. By the Spirit that God had given him to direct his actions. But there were times where even Paul messed up. We can each say that about our own lives at times. I know what I should be doing, but I mess up. Paul says, I do the things when I know I should not do the things. I don't do the things when I know I should do the things. What a wretched man I am. Now, what we do does not define us. Jesus came and he gave himself for us on the cross so that we are not defined by the mistakes that we make. We are not defined by our past failures. What Jesus did on the cross made it so we're not no longer defined by that. But what we do says something about who we are. And we need to realize that. World War II was a brutal time, not just in American history, but in the world itself. One of the most dangerous environments you could find yourself in during the early stages of the war was on the ocean. German U-boats and naval fleets patrolled the ocean with one mission, one task, and one mindset: destroy all enemies. The HMS Glowworm was a C-class destroyer-type ship. In April 1940, the Glowworm encountered the heavy cruiser of Admiral Hipper, part of a detachment. This detachment was on its way to Norway to assist with Germany's invasion efforts. When the Glowworm spotted the detachment, it fired upon it. Hipper responded to distress calls and fired upon the Glowworm with 20.3-centimeter guns, which caused damage to the Glowworm, causing it to smoke. Again, the Hipper shot at the Glowworm. In this volley, the Glowworm suffered extensive damage. Lieutenant Commander Gerald Broadman Rope, commander of the Glowworm, gave the order to fire at the Hipper, but all five of its torpedoes missed. In perhaps a last-ditch effort to sink the Hipper, Rope commanded that the Glowworm ram the much larger ship. It turned, smoking, sirens on full blast, charging straight at the Glowworm. And while more damage was caused, the Hipper suffered damage to its hull, but it was not enough to sink it. The Glowworm, though, exploded. In its effort to sink the enemy, in its hostile direction to ram this ship, 109 sailors were killed. The two ships showed by their actions the hostility found in the waters of the North Atlantic during World War II. And we read in Romans chapter 8 today that our actions, what we do, the combats of our flesh reveal the hostility to Christ. So Romans chapter 8, if you have your Bibles, please follow along. We're going to start out with verse 5. It says, those living according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires.
But those who live in accordance with the Spirit desires, I have their mindset on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life.
Life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. I'm going to read that again. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of flesh cannot please God. Verse 9. You, however,
are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you.
And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Once again, what we do says a lot about who we are. And so often what we do is handed down to us by what's in our mind. In the same way, it says here in what we just read in Romans that those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. You see, how we live is determined by what our minds are set on. This is why we look at this knowing that our actions are not the things that save us. It's not the righteousness of our works. It's not what we do that brings us salvation, but what we do is a great indicator of what is in our mind and who we really are. If the smoke is running out from under your hood, you don't worry much about the smoke as you worry about what's burning up inside your engine compartment. What we have to look at when we see these actions on display in our lives is not trying to wave away the smoke, but to get in there and really fix what's under the hood. That's why the writer of Proverbs tells us that above all else, guard your heart. It's the wellspring of life. It's what is inside that will come out. And if your heart and your mind is set on what the flesh desires, on what your physical body wants, then that's going to lead to your actions displaying that same thing, which Romans tells us is a path to death. There is a war raging. And the hostility that we have is directed at God. James 4, verse 4 says it this way, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." You see, sin is not taken lightly by God. And the way that we choose to live must be balanced against the truth. And that truth can only come from God's word. The truth cannot come from the world. Even as much as I love our country, our truth cannot come from America. Our truth cannot come from our efforts to live up to culture's standards. Our lives and our actions must be examined through the lens of Scripture. That's why, at times, Paul takes a minute. And he does some engine checks in his letters to really look at the heart of the issue. What's going on? In Galatians chapter 5, Paul does one of these engine checks. He says, the acts of the flesh are obvious. This is the smoke rolling out from under the hood. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, distensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But he also looks at when the car is running fine. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there's no law. When you're living in accordance to the Spirit, you don't have to worry about what the law says, because your actions, the things that the law focuses on, are going to be seen in the fruit of your life. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. What do your actions say about who you are and what your mind is set on? Are you ready to take the next step in your relationship with God? Because after choosing to follow Christ, after saying yes to the challenge of allowing Jesus to give you a life that you can now live free, allowing the Holy Spirit to be an influence, the next step is about letting that dig in and affect how you truly live. And it means that now we must halt our hostility. When we've chosen to live free by the Spirit of God, we are called to run from our old ways. We're called to put away the things that we've been dabbling in. We're called to put away the sin. We're called to move to a new life where we are no longer enemies to God. We are no longer hostile to Jesus, but we are transformed into new people. That is what we are called to move into. There's hardly a greater example in Scripture of this than a man named Saul. His story can be found in the book of Acts. And for Saul, meeting Jesus really meant that he became a new person. Saul was a proud Jewish man who had risen up in the ranks of his religion and was so zealous about making sure that he kept his religion sacred that he was going about killing those who claimed Jesus Christ as the Christ, the Son of God. Of the living God. He was up in arms about it. He was wailing about it. He wanted to be as far away from the person that he'd become, to the point where he was willing to kill to preserve it. But on the way to a town called Damascus, while he was on the road going to do exactly what his mission entailed, going to seek and destroy all enemies, Jesus met him. And Jesus called out to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Or in a very real way, saying, "Saul, why are you so hostile to me?" What followed was that Saul immediately halted his hostility. He became a completely new person in Jesus Christ. He began to preach and to teach and tell everyone that he could reach about what Christ had done in his life. He began to be known by the name of Paul, the author of the letter that we read today. Author of the book of Romans, author of the book of the majority of the New Testament. Others halted their hostility, for a tax collector named Zacchaeus, an encounter with Jesus, caused him to halt the hostility of stealing money from the poor, and he changed his life to be giving money away. For a man we see living in a cemetery in Scripture, he had an encounter with Jesus that meant his hostility to Jesus would stop when the demons were cast out of him. When the demons that had shown their hostility in the way that he would injure himself. And it all changed, it all halted when Jesus entered the scene. You may have already noticed this, but each of these times where hostility was halted came when a time when Jesus entered into their lives. Because we see that Christ has crossed enemy lines. Jesus came to us when we were still hostile to him. Jesus met our hostility with love. He came and he went to the areas where he was hated. Not to rub it in their face, not to pick a fight, not to tell them how bad they are or how right he was. Jesus came to love people. And that meant the people who hated him. That meant the people who said with their actions, "We are against you." Jesus came to those people not with judgment and picket signs in his hands, but with hands held wide, ready to embrace those who had hurled insults at him and spat in the way of life that he preached. Jesus loved people. And when those people were met with love, when they saw Jesus, who was willing to cross enemy lines to give them something that they may have never had in their lives before, life change happened. Life change happened in the lives of those who encountered Jesus. This is when hostility was halted. What does that encounter for Jesus mean for you in your life today? How are you hostile in your actions toward Jesus? Where does God need to meet you at? Where does he need to enter your life? In those actions, it wasn't the people. It wasn't the people who had it all figured out. It wasn't the people who had their ducks in a row or all their T's crossed. We see that it was Jesus. Jesus picked us up and we are carried to life. After the glowworm rammed into the side of the Hipper on the seas during World War II, they found themselves floating in the water amidst three German ships, one of which was the vessel that they had just rammed at full force in an effort to destroy them. The German seamen had to been surprised at the orders to follow. It was a halt of hostility. Instead of firing at the enemy, the German boats began to rescue the English sailors from the water. They began to go down and take each sailor out of the water and welcome them on board. They were taken care of well and peacefully sent back with a letter recommending their captain for the highest honors to be given to him after he had passed away in an effort to sink their own ship. It's the same peace that we have been shown today. In all of our efforts to combat the person who God called us to be, we find ourselves at his mercy, with all rights to be sentenced to death. But Jesus. But Jesus not only rescues us, but he sends us on our way with a recommendation of eternal life with him. There's no greater honor than that given to us by Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, 14 through 18 says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside his flesh in the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." What we do says something about who we are. But what Christ did tells us something about who he is. Our next step is to come out of hostility, to take responsibility for our actions and to live by the Spirit that's inside of us. Maybe today, take the next step out of hostility and into a relationship with Christ. If you haven't made that decision to give your life to him, to halt your hostility towards Jesus and to accept the gift that he has given, we want to welcome you today to come up front and to talk to us about what that means, what that looks like. May we all halt our hostility to Christ and open our arms to him. Would you pray with me?